Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Well, it's amazing as a pastor of a church to walk in and just hear the songs led and even the prayers that are prayed. And just know that God is in that. Because, you know, God's speaking my heart. Even as, you know, I'm trying to get prepared to preach the message, and I know what's been on my heart has been on my heart for a few days now, and even trying to get settled how to bring it out, even during the prayer and song service, the Lord's still settling my heart how to bring His message out, and I appreciate Him for that. He's a good God. I'm glad I don't have to stand up here and come up with something on my own, but God gives me His message, and I appreciate you praying for me that God would give me the message, because I want Him to always be the one that He's the one sends the message, and I just get out of the way and just be His mouthpiece and let them speak through me. But I want to speak about aloneness, being alone. I know it seems like I've talked about that a lot lately, even in our Bible study about our church presently. We did an entire lesson on togetherness. But I think in our day and time, so many people just feel completely, totally, utterly alone. And, you think about widows, and I'm going to speak to the widows a good bit tonight. And maybe we don't have many here, widowers, and sometimes you're alone. Think about young people. There's a lot of them today, a lot of young people that are growing up without a father in the home or a mother. Even if they do, a lot of times they're neglected. They don't get the attention that God commands us, train up children in the way that they should go. And that includes being present and being there and taking care of our responsibilities. But a lot of young people, I can't tell you how many over the past year and a half that I've talked to, that young people just feel like they're just here to figure things out on their own. Daddy's not trying, mama's not trying, and many times not even present in their lives, and they just feel so alone. But I say that, and Brother Freddie, I've made some statements about caregivers lately, because there's a lot of people our age that they're caring for both sides. They're caring for the young people and they're caring for the older generation at the same time. And it almost feels like, man, I'm just in this by myself. I'm trying, and don't seem like there's anybody coming to the rescue. And we can get where we feel very lonely. I don't want you to have pity on me tonight. I'm not up here complaining in any way. The Lord has blessed me with a good support system at home and at this church. So I'm not up here complaining, but just to point out some things to try to set the foundation for the message tonight. So many people feel like they're alone, and many times people that even sit on the church bench beside us, they feel like that they're alone. They feel like that maybe they don't belong in a certain sense, I guess. So tonight, a lot of times we make this statement: just encourage yourself in the Lord. And I certainly appreciate that thought, because we think about David, and David come to a place where all the men that he had been friends with, the people he loved, the people he fought alongside, they spoke of stoning him. So you talk about feeling alone when your enemies are out to get you, and now the people that's closest to you have turned and want to just beat you to death with rocks. That's about as alone as you could get. And yet the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Whenever all else fails, God is the God. There's a song out right now I like very much. God is the God who stays. When all the others go away, God is there. He's the one that stands by us through thick and thin, no matter what we face in life. But tonight, the burden on my heart is, as the church, we cannot use that as an excuse to not be there for one another, if that makes sense. We can't just say, well, God be with you. Remember what the Lord said? He said, if you see someone that needs something, and you just say, well, the Lord bless you, and then you don't give them what they need, you haven't done them a lot of good. And I know he's talking about maybe monetary help, or he's talking about maybe giving them something that was a need. But I tell you what, comfort, encouragement, being there for someone, that is a need. Having someone there for you is a need. I'm going to prove that tonight with the scriptures. I feel like that is a need. And so, one of the great ways God is there for us is through the extended hand of the body of Christ. God is there. He's the head. Jesus is head of the church. That makes us the arms and the legs. The Lord gives us the direction, we do the reaching. We do the comforting. We've got the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we do. Certainly do. But again, one of the great ways that God does help others is through people. And we can't shrug that off and say, well, you know, God be with you. God wants to be there for someone through us. He could just speak to everyone audibly if he wants to, but he chooses to use us. God could have sent, he could have saved us and never had a church. Just save us and say, okay, each one of you individually, I'm going to lead you to do my will individually and not even give us the church. But God didn't do it that way. Instead, he felt like it would be better to bring a bunch of people that's just as different as night and day. Bring us all together and say, y'all get along and you have unity of the Spirit and you do my work. And so God holds us together. And he gave us the body of Christ so that we could exhort one another, so that we could encourage one another, provoke one another to love and to good work. So we are to ensure that no one is alone. I want to ask you this question. I asked my children this yesterday, and Sabrina, I asked them this. Why was Adam ever alone? The Bible said God looked upon him and said, it is not good that he's alone. Why was he alone? He walked with God in the cool of the day. Why was he alone then? So I says, you know, oh, I feel so alone. I'm so alone. And we say, well, encourage yourself in the Lord. Why didn't Adam do that? I hope you understand tonight, because I'm being real careful with my words, because I don't want you to think that I'm saying that we cannot have everything we need in God. But God uses us to do His work. And there's a work that is for people to do. That is very, very important. I say people. There's a work that the church is to do that's very, very, very important. God provided a wife for Adam. Even though God was with him. God looked upon Adam and he said, that man's alone. I'm going to provide him a help that is meet for him. I'm going to provide him a help meet. And so God gave this man a wife, and he gave that wife a husband, and that's God's order. It's not always that way. I understand that. Some may never marry. So some have been married and then were divorced and left to kind of handle life in that sense. Some, you know, I mentioned widows. That means they had a husband. They don't have one anymore. Widowers had a wife that don't have that wife there by their side anymore. And so God made some provisions and he said, you know, husbands, love your wife. Render due benevolence to one another. That we are to that wife reverence your husband. And husband, you love that wife like you love your own self. God did that because he says, she should never be alone, and he should never feel alone or be alone. That is something that God brought a husband and a wife together. Then, He provided children. He provided a family. And that there's a bond between children and mama, or children and daddy, that's unlike any other bond that they are. And God gave us that. Finally, He gave us the church. You know the Bible speaks about a church and his relationship with Christ like a husband and a wife. He says, we are bone of His bone. I believe that makes us pretty close too, don't it? As a church, that makes us pretty close. You know, we are bone of bone. He says that, you know, every joint comes together just the way God wants it to. That means that if I'm this part of the arm, you're this part of the arm. We're together. God has joined us together as one. And so, He gave us the church. So to this day, loneliness can be eased by encouraging oneself in the Lord. I don't want to take away from that. But then, let's look, God gave a spouse. God gave a family. God gave the church. And that being said, some have lost their spouse. Had them till death parted. Had that. And so, their family is now their children. Maybe in some case, children are to step in and they are to care and to love. It'd be really so, well, they still have the Lord. They do. They also need their church to help them with that loneliness in a godly way. I want to stress that before I go any further. In a godly way. In other words, there's been a lot of men that have gotten in trouble by going and visit another woman. If you understand what I'm saying, without me going any further, in a godly way, in a way that we're not going to put ourselves in some kind of question, in a way we're not going to have some kind of rumor to start or anything like that, but we are to care and to visit one another, from the widows to the children and the fatherless. We are to pay attention to these things and to visit them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, look here, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, exhort one another daily, while it's called today. Because the day will be gone before you know it. And he said, during the day, we need to exhort one another. Exhort one another daily. And so, you know, many that you look out in the world, many times people drop into church and they come in here and they say, well, I'm alone. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. Maybe they've been in a divorce, something like that. And they come to church because they're looking for something. They're looking for something. You say, well, they come in and they heard the word. Sometimes they come in and they hear the word. And yet there's something that the church is able to do that it is a great responsibility. And that is to make them feel welcome. It is to show them that they have something in the church that they can't get anywhere else. And so they come many times looking for just someone to care. Someone to care. Someone to exhort them. Someone to encourage them. And it is something that we shouldn't look at and say, well, once a year I'll stop by here. Once a year I'll try to encourage this person. He said exhort daily. And I don't believe he's saying that I have to go down the list and call each and every person in the church every day to make sure that I encourage each one every day, and you have to do that. But rather, as a church, we feel that need that you, as God, put somebody on your heart. It's, look, in our day and time, it's so simple. You can drop a text, and a text can change somebody's day. You can put a letter in the mail. That still works, by the way. I've tried that a few times here and there, and it still works. You can send an envelope. It may take 2 days to get there, but it still gets there. And it, I think is a good thing. I've certainly been encouraged by letters from time to time. To make a phone call is not a hard thing. And then to just visit someone, that's not a hard thing. We're just not accustomed to it quite so much. But we do, that we are to exhort one another. And if we don't, and I have to say this, Claire Branch, you're real good at making people feel welcome at this church. And so I commend you for that. But if we don't, then we shouldn't be surprised if they decide, I'm not going back. I'm not going to come back. Because he says here, again, let's go back and read one more time, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's real easy for somebody that feels alone to get caught up in things that leads them off in the wrong direction. So let's jump on the opportunity to exhort one another, to exhort them. All right, look at Acts chapter 6. Verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and then they chose seven. And you know the story from that point on. But I want you to hear daily ministration. So there was a time when the church said, we have widows among us. And even the Grecians began to complain because they felt like the Hebrews over here were taking care of theirs and were neglecting others. And of course, you had just the 12 apostles, and the church is growing by the thousands. It's not that big anymore, so it's not near as big of a work to do as it once was. You think about thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And, you know, they need to get around daily. They couldn't call. They couldn't text. You think it's hard? Well, it'd be hard to do that, preacher. Imagine if there was 10,000 of us and we didn't have a telephone or a car. So they appointed seven. The church needs seven. Whatever the church feels a need for, that's what we need to have. And we've got good deacons and good deacons' wives, and Lord has blessed our church greatly. And yet there's a daily ministration. And so I want to point this out. These widows, the reason they were widows is because they had lost their husbands. And so it was not good for them to be alone. It was not good for them to go for periods of time without someone checking on them, making sure that things are okay. Now, I thought about it, even in preaching this. You know, one day it could be that my wife becomes a widow, part of this church. I hope this church at that point looks after her, takes care of her. You know, she's been faithful to the church as a pastor's wife and a member, and I would hope that the church would make sure that she's doing fine. She's doing good. That's what my prayer is. And even if I was the one that was left behind, I'd hope you check on me every now and then too. I get old and can't take care of things like I once did. So that's an important duty that we have. And it was handled this way at this time because they looked out over the need. And it says they appointed them over this business. There was a business there that needed to be taken care of. And so this is how they saw led of the Holy Spirit to take care of that business. Sometimes the business changes a little bit. Things have changed along the way. But there still was a daily duty. So God gave further instruction for widow's care, and we're going to read that in just a minute. Well, let's just go ahead now. Turn 1 Timothy chapter 5. I was going to go a different route, but let's go ahead and do that first. 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. Whenever I say, you know, speaking of widows, you also look and, you know, those that are fatherless, you look at those that just are alone. Those, many times they fall on hard times. Oh. And sometimes it's not any fault of their own. It's just the way life goes. And whenever we see a need arise, we need to feel that need as the church. And so, all right, let's look, though, at the widow that is a true widow indeed. Verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. We're talking about older and younger here, I believe. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers. So it's okay for us that are younger to look out and see the older women in the church and say, you know what, that's like mama. I pick on Miss Debbie all the time and say, I got a second mama here at the church, and yet she's not the older. And you know, you think about the elders that would be here. We need to make sure that we treat them like, you know, how do I want my mama to be treated? I want to make sure she's taken care of. So he said, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. Requite means to repay. Let them repay their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So first of all, again, remember, husband, take care of your wife. But then when that's not there, children, take care of mama or take care of daddy. And then we're going to get a little bit further whenever that breaks down, because, you know, we're living in a day and time now where sometimes children don't look to the parents and take care of them. And again, I had to commend you for doing that. But it says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. This is so important. That widow, she trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayer night and day. So she's trusting God. And so how does God answer her prayer? Through people. Through the church. Right, let's go on. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he that hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you're not taking care of your wife, or, you know, that you worse than an infidel, if you, and then, you know, there's just some responsibility there that we don't need to push off. Verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years. That's 60. Years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. There's so much in all that. There's no way I can tie all this together tonight, so we're just going to leave some of it hanging by the wayside. We may pick it up later. But husbands, care for that widow and do it unto death. I know in my vows, I said, till death do us part. I meant every word of that, by the way. That's what I believe. That's the way it's supposed to be, till death do us part. And whenever death does part us, then, if I go first, I am relieved of that duty. I can no longer take care of that duty anymore. That does not mean that there's no need there. It just means that it has to be filled in some other manner. So the children then have a daily duty to take care of her or him or however it may go. And then finally, if the church sees that that's neglected, or if the church sees a need to show some relief there, that we are to relieve and aid in a way that be pleasing to the Lord. While I'm here, you don't have to turn, but Ecclesiastes in chapter 4 and verse 9, and again, I can't quote the verse just word for word, but it says, two are better than one. If the one fall, the other will lift up his fellow. Woe unto the one that is alone when he falleth. Woe is unto him. And so, it's so important that we care for those that are not, that they're by themselves. Once had a mate, or, children are supposed to have parents, and sometimes that falls through. And it's important that we see those things and that we make provisions for those things. I know I'm going a little long tonight. If you will, turn with me to James. Chapter 1, verse 26. Seems like I've read from these verses so many times in the last little while, but verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In the beginning, God created man. And God looked upon man, he said, it's not good that he be alone. And so he decided that man was not complete without woman. Then God made a bond between a husband and a wife that is unlike any other bond. And I'll tell you this, the church cannot replace that bond. We cannot replace it, but we can aid that. We can aid that. We can help that. We can ease that. And so, again, husband and wife is a bond. By Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 says, love is strong as death. It's as strong as death. And so God gives children. Different bond between the children and the father or mother than it is between the husband and the wife. It's still love, but it's a different bond that's there. And God gave each one of these bonds for a reason. Children have a bond with parents that should be held at the highest esteem. I know I've mentioned Titus chapter 2 recently, but young ladies should be taught by older ladies to love their children. They're to be taught that. That example is to be set, and it is, boy, that has broke down in our day so much. There's a lot of children that going around and mama don't even care. Daddy don't even care. Period. Not even in their lives. Not even anywhere in their lives. And so, what's next when that happens? What's next? Well, God tells us our religion, church, our religion is vain unless we minister unto those great needs that are there. Boy, it's such a burden on my heart. Brother, esteem brother. We need to esteem our brothers, don't we? need to love my church. I need to love you as my church members, my brothers in Christ. I need to love you like a brother. That's what you are. You men. Sisters, esteemed sister. You ladies, I need to love you like my sister. That's what you are. But then he goes a little further. He says the older ones, the older ladies, he said, love them like mothers. That's a mouthful, but love them like mothers. And the elder men, love them like fathers. Treat them like fathers. Respect them like you would your father. Respect them. So tonight, I know that I've thrown out a lot for us to consider, but don't let the devil discourage another soul into thinking they are alone in this fight. God has made provisions. And it's not just the relationship that they would have between them and God, but rather God works through us to fill needs in the lives of others. It's so important. Elijah, he almost gave up, didn't he? Woe is me, I despair of life, just take my life. I'm the only one, I'm all by myself. Loneliness is a dangerous thing. He got so lonely, he was talking about, God, just take my life. I don't even want to be here anymore. Tired of being like this. Tired of being in this, one man band. And so God first encouraged him, and then later on, we know that Elisha walked with him, didn't he? A companion. He come along and walked with him. And then Elisha, they were so close that whenever Elijah died, Elisha said, I want a double portion of the spirit you have. I want that. And then you go and look at Elisha. God didn't leave him alone either. He had others that went walk with him almost from day one. Seemed like that they lodged together. They worked together. They took care of things. And of course, they ministered to him as he ministered the will of God to others as the man of God. So by the grace of God, Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Mommy. Let us love one another. There's a lot of ways we can show the love of Christ and charity, but it's just such a burden on my heart. There's so many people that feel like, boy, I'm just trying the best I can. I feel like I'm all by myself. We have a duty to see to that. And I know, again, we can't pick up and check on each and every person each and every day. But we can pray, God, show us a need, show us something, put somebody on our heart. And let's don't shy away from it. Let's take care of that need as God puts it on our heart. And then when I do my part and you do your part and everybody's doing their part, no one stands alone. Last for some.